and Shalom Aleichem to all of you. And thank you for your story. I've been studying Hebrew for the past few months, and I'm learning quite a bit more now. There are no vowels in Hebrew. No. And the Hebrew Bible is half as thick as the King James Bible, because of that being one of the reasons. So, but the King James Version has been with us for about 409 years now. And it's done a wonderful job. It really has been a miracle for us. When you start reading into the Hebrew, which is the original text, the knowledge in the King James Bible, it expands with the Hebrew. It's a little more understanding. There's more involved in that. That's very interesting how that is. The other reason as well for understanding or reading the Hebrew, if you are evangelizing to either a Muslim or other people or atheists, what happens is if you're using the King James Bible, the response will be, well, there's 50 or 60 interpretations. How do you know which one is right? So if you have the Hebrew Bible, the Muslims understand that that's the original text. You just got to put in the work to understand, to learn how to read it and understand it and expand on your knowledge of the Word of God. So there is no more excuse of which interpretation are you talking about, you know, of the Bible. You go directly to the Hebrew scripts. Just 1 minute, Teresa, okay? Well, go ahead if you'd like to say something.
Yes, since we're just beginning to study it, is there a way that anyone in here and more could participate in the study and study as well?
Well, this is one of my goals, is I've spoken with our pastor, that as I move along further, that if I could eventually teach it. So, not the alphabet, but the alphabet. It's called in Hebrew the alphabet. So, but
Alpha and the Omega.
Yes. Shalom Aleichem to you, Teresa. Okay. Jesus used those words just once.
Yeshua
HaMashiach. Yes. Just once he used those words, and that was after his resurrection. And what it means is, peace be to you. And he said he used it on the disciples. It was right after his resurrection. So if you want, you can search why and when and what was the purpose. There's quite a story behind it. So, yeah. And another thing as well I'd like to mention is, we use the word Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a place, a city of rocks, east of us, in a desert. And we use the word Jerusalem as a singular meaning. But in Hebrew, it's Yerusalem. And the am at the end of Yerusa is plural. So this is what I'm talking about, the expansion. When you go to the Hebrew, the expansion means there's two Jerusalems. One over there, and one up there. That's right. So, I just thought I'd pass that on. So, my question to you, and if you'd like, you can take some notes, but why was Jesus born in a manger? Okay. Luke 2, verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Have you ever stopped to consider why God allowed his only son to be born in a lowly manger? Could not an omniscient, loving, all-powerful God have arranged a room at the inn? Or even better, could he not have arranged for Jesus to be born in a palace with midwives, servants, and clean water? Can you imagine bringing your wife into an animal stall to give birth in the dark without help? Now, this is nothing about Christmas. This is the story of the birth of Christ. So don't misinterpret me. We are not into Christmas here. But it's a story that we don't talk about very much. So can you imagine wrapping your son in a swaddling cloth to protect his skin from the hay and placing him in a feed through a makeshift cradle? Rest assured, the author of all creation did not fall asleep at the wheel and overlook the hardship that this was to be the parents. This choice was deliberate, with clear intentionality and purpose. Many know that Micah prophesied that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, through you are small among the clans, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old and from ancient times. This was understood by the Pharisees at the time of Jesus and is referred to in several gospel accounts in Matthew 2, verse 5, and John 7, verse 42. God arranged for Joseph and Mary to be in Bethlehem in response to the Roman census. But why Bethlehem? It might be tempting to conclude that it was to honor David. It is likely that the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem were raising the lambs in the very fields that King David did, as a boy watched over his sheep and composed psalms to honor his God. In fact, the shepherds may have been on the same land that Boaz redeemed for Naomi and passed on to his son Jesse, David's father. However, I contend that this is not the reason for choosing Bethlehem. Many do not realize that Micah further prophesied that kingship would come to the daughter of Jerusalem at Migdal Eder, Micah 4.8, verse 8. As for you, O watcher, O watchtower of the flock, O stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Migdal Eder flock was a watchtower located in the northern part of Bethlehem, built to protect the temple flocks. During lambing season, the sheep were brought there from the fields, as the lower level functioned as a birthing room for sacrificial lambs. Priestly shepherds would wrap the newborn lambs in swaddling clothes and place them in a manger until they calmed down, to keep them without defect. Suitable to be sacrificial lambs, for the sin of the Israelites. Bethlehem was special because the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem raised lambs for the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. The shepherds who heard the angelic choir and came to see the baby Jesus were certainly familiar with the technique of to birth a sacrificial lamb, and were likely puzzled by why a baby birthed in the manner and location of the sacrificial lamb. In fact, the angels did not have to tell the shepherds precisely where to go in Bethlehem to find Jesus, because there was only one manger where sacrificial lambs were birthed. The cave under the watchtower of Migdal Eder. With hindsight, we can clearly see that the manner of Jesus' birth foreshadowed a purpose for Jesus coming into the world. In John 1, verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 20, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. But Jesus had taken his first breath. God had decided that his life was to be given as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins. God testified to his intent by having Jesus be born in the manner and the location of the sacrificial lambs of the temple, just as the prophet Micah proclaimed.